fathers who are struggling, who couldn't provide as much, didn't get as much respect.
Men are at least seen as human. They are seen for the role they are playing.
I think it's when something happens, like in society, that will say, hey, speak up. Yeah, I mean, men should speak up more,
So if I'm not playing a certain role, I am less than a man. If I'm not fitting into the description of the society's definition of what a man is supposed to be, I'm less than a man.
One important thing is to define your own journey, not follow like a bandwagon and maybe, hey, my friend is here, I should be here, that kind of thing.
When you hear International Men's Day, be honest, what comes to your mind?
It's an afterthought.
Yeah. Wow. Obviously.
Before Christmas. Let's love this one.
Obviously.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another edition of the Leap Africa Youthful and Useful Podcast. Today's edition is going to be a special one. We're going to be commemorating the International Men's Day for the year 2023. The theme for the year being a very sensitive theme, and it really speaks to zero male suicide. I'm in the studio right now with two amazing men who work at Leap Africa. And we're going to be talking about the many positive contributions that men bring to the society, to our lives, to the community, and also to the work that we do at Leap Africa, really, because we do value the men that work with us. And we think that there's so many things that we need to speak about where men are concerned. So I'd like to introduce the amazing people that I'm joined by today. Yeah. On my right, I have Ahmed Marr, who is an amazing, you know what? I'll let him introduce himself. And on my left, I have Adeyinka Adewusi. These are two amazing men that I'll soon be turning over the mic to just to share about who they are, what they do at Leap Africa.
All right. My name is Ahmed Omar, and I'm Program Manager, Leap Leadership Institute. That's what
I
do.
I think you should tell them that you're popularly called our dean, because he is a bundle of knowledge. Anything, absolutely anything that you want worked on, research. This is the research body that we have here at Leap Africa. I'll pass over to the next person.
Okay. My name is Adewusi Adeyinka, Finance and Admin Coordinator at Leap Africa.
All right. I don't know why they're being modest. He's the money man at Leap Africa. Really caters to all of our financial needs and make sure that our books are in order. So welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Yeah. So let's start with the first question. When you hear International Men's Day, be honest, what comes to your mind?
I don't care, really.
Wow.
No, like, yeah. I mean, that's what comes to my mind. Like, okay. So it's on that day.
Okay. Yeah. How about you?
What comes to my mind? Really, it's just, I feel like it's just another day that, just to give it a tag and just say they want to celebrate men. And imagine, like, we get November in the whole of the year, January. It's just so International Men's Day, really, is just,
it's
under facade, just a mirage to just clothe many things and just say, okay, so that these people will not think that, oh, we don't care about them. Let's give them something. I think so.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah. Wow.
Before Christmas. Let's love this one.
Wow. Obviously.
I should share a disclaimer that we very much care about the men that we work with at Leap Africa. So Ahmed and Adeyinka, on behalf of the global calendar, we apologize that you feel like it's an afterthought. Ahmed said something very interesting. I don't know if you caught that. He said that the International Men's Day was slotted in just before December, before Christmas, just yes, so that we can get rid of celebration. I know that's a lie. That's a lie. It's intentional. We value our men. We want to celebrate you. And you add so much value to our lives. Maybe just even speaking to the fact that you think that celebrating men is an afterthought. Mm. Do you want to share some of the opinions or some of the things that you saw growing up that helped you form that opinion?
Well, it's never really just been about, you know, maybe men being celebrated or stuff. It's just about, like, where you are being celebrated more is with your responsibilities, right? So it's, you know, a father provides for the family, is the first person you see as a man, as a child. And then you say, oh, maybe, you know, you respect him in that sense, right? So celebrating is more around that respect, like, okay, he pays my school fees, you know, puts food on the table and all of that. So it's more from a responsibility perspective. And when you think about it on the other side, maybe fathers who are struggling, who couldn't provide as much, didn't get as much respect. So, and then now when you think about it, you just zero your mind from any kind of celebration at all. And then you go on to just believe that, okay, this is going to be about what I can provide. As much as I can provide, I will, you know, earn my respect. And of course, yeah. And then you see that even birthdays, things like that did not excite like fathers a lot, right? They will do it for you, but for them, they feel, well, this is just another day. In fact, sometimes it's really awkward to celebrate or to, you know. So all of those things, it's just in the fabric of society already. So I guess that's the point right now, the status quo.
I think personally, this is very enlightening for me, just even the fact that as a woman, I'm just thinking about the birthdays that I have and the ones that people, the men around, because I have two brothers, have, and I'm wondering the way that we have to make sure that a woman has a cake. And sometimes it's like, oh, don't worry, a guy, you can suck it up. And maybe I just didn't realize that that actually did mean something, or it has started to mean something to the men that are around me, or the other men. I'm not sure if that's the same thing for you.
Yeah, I feel like you said, from the responsibility point of view, men are at least seen as human. They are seen for the role they are playing. So if I'm not playing a certain role, I am less than a man. If I'm not fitting into the description of the society's definition of what a man is supposed to be, I'm less than a man. So my function and my role is tied to provision, it's tied to security, it's tied to me being strong, it's tied to me responding and reacting in certain ways, it's tied to if I have or I experience or I give out an outburst, I am maybe schizophrenic, I am toxic. You say toxic masculinity. So there's no space for men to express themselves, to be themselves. So we have a lot of problem. And so every man, as we are growing up, we are building ourselves to fit into a mode. Just taking up the responsibility. Oh, I am a provider and I cannot slack. I cannot sit back. I cannot rest. I must keep going. No matter what, I must keep going. And when I fall short of the standard that has been created, I feel so bad. And because I don't meet up with the expectation of certain people and certain certain places also, I fall into depression. Then it leads to suicide. And that is why you have over 703,000 suicide per year. And the males have 3 or 5 more than the female. So for every 10,000 suicide for a female, there's like 50,000 for the men. So it's just a whole lot of societal construct that is designed. And like this guy sang, it's really a woman's world. It's a woman's world.
Okay. So I don't want to start on that last note, because we've heard it's a man's world. But really, I don't want us to move away from the fact that we raised some very, very, very critical issues here. And something I'm hearing very significantly is that for the average man, every single day means that you're battling with certain emotions in your head, where you feel like you're not valued, or you feel like your contribution in society, your family, even in the places that are supposed to be comfort to you, are reduced to what you can bring to the table that day, or what you're able to provide at that point in time. And in many ways, that's the only thing that really determines your value. And I think that's really some heavy stuff. And just like the statistics that you had shared, really, on male suicide and the fact that it's at an alarming rate. I think one thing I start to wonder is that how many other young men or men, you know, across different ages, really have had to battle with these same things, even to the point where they're not sharing or they're, you know, even being moved towards extreme cases like what you have mentioned. And maybe for me, it's like, are there really safe spaces for men if in the family units that you have, you know, there are those biases already that already exist? So maybe with men, safe spaces can be found with each other. So would you say that there's a significant person in your life or a significant figure in your life that really is that safe space for you? Can be a man, or can be maybe certain gatherings of men that you typically would rely on when you're having thoughts, or when you're just really in your head and just going through, you know, the motions, especially with, you know, certain things that happen around you. I'll start with you, Adeyinka. Are there certain institutions or bodies that you rely on for support?
Okay, because of my disposition to life, and I'm a faith-based person, so there's this tendency to rely on more on my church, my local church, for example, rely more on my pastor, and definitely my father, and my biological father, and my mother, definitely. I cannot strike that out. And my younger brothers. I have like 4 younger brothers. So there's this drive and desire that we just gather and we share everything, from ad breaks to to money matters, to building, to investment, to how we feel, how things are expected to go, and, you know, and just like that. So I'll say my brothers, my parents, definitely, especially my mom. You know, she's always like, okay, don't worry, things are going to, you know, fall in place and all that. And my local church, I think that's just the community where I find myself, where I feel free. I talk to my friends that we share the same faith, and we talk about it, we look at everything when we are down, but we just keep going. And I think that's what has helped me, just my family and my friends.
I like that you've shared that. I think I especially like the fact that even though it seems like men can only find safe spaces in other guys that understand, then there's your mom that's that figure for you to constantly lean on, especially when you're going through the issue. So Ahmed, I'm bringing a different question to you. And mine is that, do you think as an African man, there are really safe spaces for you to discuss your mental issues? Do you think it's even okay for a man to say, I'm not happy, or, oh, I'm sad, or for a man to even cry? I think that in this African context that we are, I mean, we're in Nigeria, if you're watching from outside Nigeria, it's sort of hard to own up to your emotions or what you're going through. Just wanted to find out from your perspective, do you think that as an African man, there are enough safe spaces and enough avenues for you to express yourself?
Well, I don't think there are enough safe spaces. That's the short and long answer. But I think there are, you know, spaces within, like, the family, like Adeyinka said. For me, growing up, I like to travel to my uncle a lot. And so I felt comfortable sharing things that I'd not even told them in the house, in my own family, you know, speaking to him about things that I would really had wanted to speak to, like, my dad also with. So that was growing up anyway. But again, now I'm closer to my mom, you know, like Adrienka is saying, and I can pick up the phone, speak to my mom, but there are still things I can't discuss with her, you know, like I can't, you know, discuss some things that I feel like, I also feel like she wouldn't understand it, you know, like she wouldn't get it. So like, and you know, I don't want to burden this person with this. So again, there's also that thing that is in like the culture or the society, like you are a man for himself, is how they say it. Like you are on your own, really. And everybody just say, oh, I think it's when something happens, like in the society, that will say, hey, speak up. Yeah, I mean, men should speak up more, da, da, da. After it dies down, that's it. If you are complaining, I mean, if you're saying something, they say, oh, you're complaining, or it's clout or whatever. But I feel like we pay lip service to it, that men should speak up and say how they feel, right? Because it sounds good to say that, oh, men should speak up. It sounds good. But when men do speak up, what happens? They are seen as weak. They are seen as, oh, I mean, even in pop culture, it's more like if you are not this popular thing. That, I mean, it sounds somehow, but when you think about it, you say no evidence, you go explain
tire. Explain tire.
that thing is not LD. No, yeah, it's not. It's not, because it's not everybody that is going to make it to that certain extent that people would see, oh, you are, you know, you are rich, you are famous, you are all of that, or everybody's going to see it. And it rubs off of that fact that you need to define what success means to you as an individual person. So when people say it and they reference things like that, it adds another pressure to certain people who are not maybe aware of themselves. They feel like I must do something to, you know, show. And these are mostly like men, because it's in the context of struggle. It's in the context of, oh, you have to work hard, you have to do this. And of course, it's not as if you shouldn't work hard, but again, it's in the fact that this struggle and everything has been, you know, so some like synonymous to men, right? To say, okay. So I feel about safe space, speaking about it, well, it's fancy, it's nice to talk about it, like on social media, you know, when something happens, people say, but about curating that space, about making that space for conversation to happen, like genuine conversations, I think there is a lot to do there. I think there is just a lot to do there. Creating that space is very important. Driven by, you know, men, mentorship. You can even look at it from this angle as well. There are a lot of women, you know, groups, like professionally, things like that. Start to find many things. Just believe that as a man, you figure it out yourself. You are not disadvantaged. You are not anything. You have the natural instinct to go forward. So why not? So I think those are my thoughts around that.
Thank you, Ahmed. I think this has been very, very enlightening for me, especially to the people that are watching this. If you are watching this and you're a man or you're a woman, you know, in the company of men or growing up with men or working with men, I think it's time for us to pay special attention to the persons that we're reaching out to, the persons that are around us. How are we really creating those safe spaces that really help men express themselves, that make sure that they are actually able to contribute their culture to society and make sure they feel valued, especially in the things that they are doing? But now we're talking about lack of safe spaces that we have in the community that we're in. And I want us to really focus on those positive role models or those positive case studies that when you're going through something, your mind goes back to say, this person did it, so it's possible for me to also do it. Do you have anybody like that you think about, or any story or something that you think could really be that beacon of light for any young man or any man really going through hard times at this time? Any thoughts?
Okay, there are a lot of people, you know, throughout history, and everything, but one of the people that stands out for me would be Denzel Washington. I look at his story, and it just gives all, you understand, and what discipline and sacrifice and what you can achieve no matter where you're from. I know that is in a different society from Nigeria, for example, but it's just amazing how somebody can rise from that kind of place and come to stardom and stay there, you know, still revered, still honored. And I think that that's just the person. I look at him and I say, okay, and then Inka, you've got this. You can do this. You can try.
Inka, you've got this, actually. You really got this. Yeah. So over to you, Ahmed.
I'm not sure I can bring up a name. But the thing is that, do you know this Stoic philosophy? I think most of the Stoic, they call them Stoic, they are ancient Roman philosophers. They have an approach to life it's quite interesting. He said, this did not happen to you, you know, it happened, you know, for you to learn about it.
Mm.
So, and there are a lot of them. We have Seneca, we have Marcus Aurelius, and these guys, in their way of life, they try to make it simple. They try to approach life in a way that, you know, they learn from it every day. You know, Roman philosophy is very interesting, just checking it out. But these are not one in particular, but when you pick it up, like, there is this book called The Daily Stoic. So it has each day as like a Stoic saying, or a Stoic way of life. And when you just pick it up, you read it and you feel like, okay, this makes sense. And, you know, you just relate to a lot of things like that. And that's more like, okay, you're picking up like a Bible or a Quran, that, you know, there are ways of life expressed in there for us to follow. So I think detaching from like the culture, like the actual frenzy, social media frenzy, to culture, the, you know, actual societal pressure and everything, and going back to like the wisdom of ages would help a bit. Yeah.
And I told you at the beginning, this is why we call him the Dean. He's gone, he's reached way back into the old days. We like to call him an old man at Leap Africa. So he's gone back to say, you know what, step away from social media. Put down that Instagram, what's the worst story you're looking at, that you're thinking, this guy has money, I don't. And just really start to think about you. I always say everyone's journey is different. While people have similar challenges, everyone has a different journey. And so you have to stay zoomed in on that journey that you have set out for yourself, and think about it. And just like Adeyinka has, find those persons, those role models, the safe spaces that you can find in your environment. And like Ahmed has done, if it is for you to go back into the old ages, like this old man, and really just think about the things that speak to you, that help you just stay sane, you know, when things are hard, when things are trying, just so that you're able to stay focused and really just, you know, step away from those moments where you feel like you're on edge. We're wrapping up nicely now. I just really want us to speak about how you're advocating for safe spaces for men, really in the work that you do, possibly, or just even to younger brothers like the ones that you have. So when they come to you and say, "Brother Adeyinka, I mean, if you know what happened today, this girl broke my heart, for example, and you know, she went to that guy that has iPhone Pro Max, you know, I'm really going to just go out there and get my iPhone." How do you tell him to calm down? You know, what do you say to that young person that's really trying to navigate his way in life and really trying to make sure that he stays relevant to people that he really cares about, just so that, you know, people are posting him on Instagram, calling him Don and Chairman. I know you guys do that. What would you say to that young man?
I'd say it takes time.
Honestly.
It takes time. One of the things that we don't like to reckon with or accept in this day and age is that good things at times take time. So you look at yourself like 5 years ago, I was not where I was today financially in any way, wisdom. And now I can basically, at the snap of a finger, do some things I could not do comfortably 5 years ago. And that's time. That's time. So all we just need to do is keep working on ourselves. It takes time. The man that, okay, for example, you use the heartbreak issue. Maybe the guy that has a range or a G-Wagon that took your babe, it will add a time that it was maybe probably nothing and somebody took his babe. So just take it and say, it takes time. You will get there. And when you get there, don't take another person's faith. Just do your thing.
All right. That was on a light note, but please stay focused on the key messaging there. It takes time. Yeah. It really does take time. Over to you, Ahmed.
I honestly don't know how else to say than how Adeyinka said. It takes time. And I think one important thing is to define your own journey, you know, not follow like a bandwagon and maybe, hey, my friend is here, I should be here, that kind of thing. Because again, a lot of people fall into that. You see a lot of japa. Hey, this person has japa, I must japa.
Let's not even talk about that one.
Yeah, so again, that's just an example of why some people do things, because their friends, or you know, that's what is in vogue right now. So I think self-awareness, right? Developing your own sense of success, what it means to you, and then, you know, developing alongside knowing that it takes time, developing your own roadmap to, okay, this is where I want to go, this is how I want to get there, and then of course just walking the journey, knowing that it takes time, and don't feel pressured. You know, if people are saying, send me money, you know, like younger brothers and stuff. So if my sister messaged me, my younger sister in university, she messaged me, I'm going to take time before I respond. I'm going to see what the next message is going to be. Is it about money? And in my mind, I'll be like, nah, person bought me too. So I feel like, well, we should also not undue pressure on ourselves. There's enough pressure already. So undue pressure, of course, doesn't mean that don't be responsible, but don't, you know, don't commit to things that you don't want to, you don't have capacity for. As Adenika said, as time goes on, it's going to be more than enough. I mean, at least I believe that, more than enough.
Honestly, I believe that too.
Yeah.
And we're at the end of our session. I want to say thank you so much to the men that joined us today, Ahmed and Adenika. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we leave, I'd like to say a final word. And that word is that as the men that are watching us, the men at Leap Africa who are doing this for, who we really, really appreciate. Shout out to the men at Leap Africa.
Shout out.
Shout out to you. You are the main character in your story. You're the main character. You decide who your castmates are. You decide what the plot of your story is. And you decide how your journey is really going to be. And you decide if you have a happy ending, really. So I want you to stay zoomed in on that focus. You're the main character. And so when things feel like things are low, when you feel like you're down, please make sure that you remember every time what these young men have said to you. Yes, we understand that there are issues. Yes, we understand that as men, you're going to face some unique issues. But it's very important for you to stay zoomed in on the fact that you're not a lone one. There are people around you that can be the safe spaces that you run to. Also remember that you do not have to be like that person you see on your Instagram story. Step away from the noise, like Ahmed said. It might be a good opportunity for you to remember the positive things that you have achieved as a person and leave the external influence out of it, really. And on that note, I'd like to say happy International Youth Men's Day to the men, and also shout out to the men at Leap Africa. We appreciate you. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.